All right, praise the good Lord, be able to be in the house of God today.
Yes.
And we had a raining cats and dogs last Sunday. Had snow and ice the two Sundays in front of that. But it looks like we've got a good day together in the house of God today. And I'm so thankful. I need this kind of like the flower needs the rain. I need this kind of like the flower needs the sunshine. I can't do without it. I mean, if I wasn't here, I'd be somewhere else. And my son called me this morning, and he said, "Dad, what time are you going to church?" First thing I thought was, he's going with me. But he wanted me to stop and pick him up something. And I have to admit, the way he brought that across,
yeah.
I said, "Well, you know, I usually leave the house about 9 o'clock. I said, Sunday school starts at 10. I was hitting around 2, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought he had finally got to the point. You know, you get so far down, about the only thing you got left looking up. I thought he'd finally got there. I was praying for him early this morning. And I'm not going to let up on praying for him.
No.
But I really did. I thought he was going to come with me this morning. And I was ready. I mean, could have shined. But I have to go to church.
Yes.
Now, back when I was a lost man, the likelihood of me going to church was -0. I don't think you could have threatened me with my life. I don't think you could have drugged me with a bulldozer. I don't think there was any way. But I'll tell you what, now that I'm saved,
come on, brother.
This is part of my livelihood.
Amen.
I understand why God built a church. I understand why we need a church.
Yes.
It was in a church when I heard the good news that somebody loved me enough that he died in my place and gave grace to me that I could go free and rose from the dead for my justification,
yeah, right.
And then went and pleaded on my behalf to the Father,
yeah,
in heaven.
Yeah.
And boy, I got abundantly pardoned, and I'm forever thankful. Me and Donnie was trying to understand why some people love the Lord more than others. And I said, well, you know, that's in the Bible. Whoso's forgiven much loves much. And I was guilty of crimes that really I should be in hell today.
That's right.
But I'm glad that God had compassion and mercy and grace. And on my behalf, love that I can't understand, can't describe, can't even preach it to the extent of what it's worth, but what great love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins. And I'm so glad to be in the house of God today.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going to get to hear some good news today. Even though I'm the preacher, I know God's going to say a whole lot more than what little bit of jot and tittles I've got on my mind. And every preacher, if he's got any of God in him at all, he's plenty of room for God to change the direction or to say whatever God leads him to say.
Yeah.
And if he don't, it's cut and dry and God's a million miles away. I'm telling you, a lot of churches today are just going through the motion.
Yes, amen.
They're really not real. They really don't have time for God. They don't give place to God. Everything's cut and dry. All right, I'm going to shut up. We're going to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be able to look upon Your Word today and to be able to receive from it the great truths, the great treasures, Lord, that it holds. Thank You, Lord, for Brother Ed being able to see. What a blessing, God, that he is, Lord. I can't imagine, Lord, how blessed he is, but I know he's blessed. Thank You, Lord, for his good son, Lord, that's been there to help him, Lord, and been there, Father, to put the eye drops in his eyes. And, Lord, it's all worked together for good. And, Lord, we just rejoice with him, Lord. Father, we thank You for the good week You've given us, Lord. Just blessings upon blessings.
Yes.
Handfuls upon handfuls, Lord. Everywhere we look, we saw the good hand of God. Lord, we just pray, Lord, You bless this Sunday school lesson this morning. Break the bread. Lord, give it to us. We'll give it to those that are here. We'll give it to those that are listening by way of internet. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' blessed, precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We're in Revelation chapter 7. Now, we wrapped up chapter 6 real quick last week. And I just want to go back and reread some verses out of Revelation chapter 6, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter 7. Now we're real close to this actually happening. And I told you that Revelation is a book, a progressive book. It repeats itself. All of Revelation is included in Revelation chapter 6. So when we read Revelation chapter 6, you're looking at basically the sum of the whole book of Revelations. But it will end. The world will end just like these verses I'm going to read right here. Right now the world's they're idle in the marketplace. Right now the world's at ease. There are some people that are concerned. There are people taking their lives. There are people having heart attacks for fear. Things going on, commotion, the commodities and stuff. I was looking even myself at a video this week and it caught my eye. And it done a good job of putting some things in perspective. I told my pastor about it. But in that video, even though everybody has nuclear warheads, there's one nuclear warhead, and I guess several people have this, but if they launch it and it explodes like over America, planes will fall out of the sky, cars will stop, phones won't work, lights will go out. It's kind of like an electromagnetic type warhead, and what it does, it cancels out all of the air, like, you know, my phone works, a wireless phone, it works through the air communicating to a satellite tower or something like that. Well, this nuclear warhead, if they were to launch it, everything would just fall out of the sky, not satellites, but airplanes, cars would just completely just stop. Lights go out. People would be fearful at that. Well, we're going to read this text right here because this is kind of where it's going to be. In Revelation chapter 6, I'm just going to read these verses. Verse 12 says, John doing the writing, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I wanted to read those verses because a worse thing than a nuclear warhead that's able to cancel everything that has to do with wireless communication is coming. And it's been coming for a long time.
Yeah.
The same preacher that preached in Genesis chapter 6 all the way for 120 years.
Yeah.
It's the same thing going on today. Ears got dull of hearing Noah preaching about a flood. And they got the mocking Noah. Where's the rain, Noah? Where's the flood, Noah? Oh, what about this ark you building? There's no water anywhere close. Let me tell you, when the doors shut, when Noah and Miss Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives were told to go into the ark, When God shut the door,
yeah,
it was over.
Yes, it was.
There's a door open right now.
Yes, they are.
The same circumstances are true right now. This is not going to last forever. Right now, I want you to know God that gave Jezebel space to repent is offering people space to get in before this judgment hits.
Yeah.
All right, Revelation chapter 7. And now this is terrible what John just saw in Revelation chapter 6. But he says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that the earth is flat. And this is the verse where they get that thought from, where it mentions about the four corners of the earth. Thank God that there's another verse that says otherwise. And it was a verse that caused Christopher Columbus to sail in 1492. One verse, Isaiah chapter 40,
right,
verse number 22.
Yes.
It says, it is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That verse contradicts the four corners of the earth. But I want to say this about the four corners of the earth. You've got the north.
Yeah.
You've got the south.
Yeah.
You've got the east. And you got the west. That's four corners right there as far as direction goes. These flat earthers. You can go up in an airplane, and you don't have to get too far off the ground that you can see that the world is round. And I would advise anybody that believes in flat earth to do that. I went 40 miles out into the sea I believe it was down at Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
We went out 40 miles out in a boat called the Pink Flamingo.
Yeah.
And even out there 40 miles out, you could tell that the world was round. When we started back, I mean, all you can see is water 40 miles out.
Right.
But when we started back, you could see the tallest thing first. You just see a little bit of it. Then the closer you got, you know, it dropped down, you know, and you could see, like, you know, when you got a level place to see. But you could tell that the earth was flat. I mean, the earth was round even then, not flat, what I'm trying to say. But this verse caused a lot of people to think that the earth is flat. And I want you to notice there's some people involved in this verse. Four angels.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So you've got four angels, and they're holding four so-called winds from four directions. John says, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He's given them a command.
Yeah.
In verse 3 he says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. I want you to know they're getting ready to do some damage.
Yeah.
This angel gives them a charge. Don't do it till we get these sealed from God, these servants of God, in their forehead. Now, God, the long suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah. When God told Noah that he's going to send a flood, Noah, the Bible said, moved with fear to the preparing of the ark to the saving of his house.
Yes.
All of his family got saved. Everybody else perished. But Noah moved with fear. Fear does move you.
Yep.
I was telling Brother Don as I was reading my Bible this morning, and I may read Deuteronomy through again. I didn't realize there was so much in there. But as I was reading Deuteronomy this morning, it was talking about giving out judgment on people that done wrong.
Yeah.
And it talked about that if a man killed a man, and you know, for no reason, just killed him, that they were to kill him, hang him on a tree, and take him down before the sun goes down, because the Bible says cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yeah.
But there was a phrase right after that caught my eye. That all of Israel may hear and fear.
Yeah.
We don't have too much of that going on today. No, sir. As a matter of fact, they promote violence today.
Yeah.
You know, the person that's in trouble today is the victim. If they live, they're going to somehow have to pay the bill. They're going to have to somehow survive, you know, what's happened to them, because they won't do nothing to the criminal nowadays. Matter of fact, we've got someone high up in our government, very high up.
They'll pay them out.
They said this: riot and don't stop.
That's right.
That was Miss Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Riot and don't stop. I don't want that kind of leadership. Miss Kamala Harris, I'm not going to get political here. I just want to say this real quick. She goes and bails these people out that get arrested, that get caught.
That's right.
And turns them back loose upon America. You know, there's some things going on in America right now. It don't bother me. I'm going to heaven. I wish it wasn't going on, but I've read enough Bible to know it don't get better. It gets worse.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse and worse under the end. How bad is it going to get, Brother Eddie? Luke chapter 21 says it's going to get so bad that men's hearts are going to fail for fear.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
One person was killed in the Capitol, and it was a retired military, I believe she was in the Air Force, that was shot by a Capitol guard, and there's more to that than meets the eye, and I'm not going to dig it out. Three more people died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
The Capitol police officer that died wasn't hit with a fire extinguisher. Died of a heart attack, his mother said. One of the Capitol police officers, so-called, committed suicide. And take it with a grain of salt. But now the number's up to 7. How dumb or how gullible are we anyway?
Yeah.
I'm teaching this morning, but I'm trying to be practical in my teaching. God withheld the flood for 120 years, and then he gave them 7 more days of grace to get in the ark.
Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord, he did.
And only 8 souls got in.
Yeah.
And the rest are the fossils found today. Me and Donnie, we hunt arrowheads.
Yeah.
One of the rarest arrowheads called a paleo arrowhead. You're just liable to find them anywhere. They're just liable to be anywhere. You know why? Because they were during Noah's day.
Yeah, that's right.
There's really no such thing as a paleo site. They're scattered everywhere. If you find a fluted Cumberland, a fluted Clovis, fluted Quad, Beaver Lake, that's the people that didn't have enough sense to get an ark. But I will tell you one thing, buddy. They knew how to make an arrowhead. Amen.
Amen.
Listen. God couldn't send the flood till Noah got in the ark.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 19, Lot here, God's fixing to send another judgment. Mm-hmm. The angels that came to Lot, they told him to make haste and get hither, but we can do nothing until you're gone. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Noah was holding back the judgment of God. Lot was holding back the judgment of God. It couldn't rain fire and brimstone with Lot in Sodom. Lot shouldn't have been in Sodom. Kind of pictures the church today. Huh? I mean, we're just about in Sodom right now. Jesus said it'd be like the days of Noah, violence, like the days of Lot, sexual perversion. We're just about 360 full score. But I want you to know, judgment couldn't hit until they were taken out of the way. Same is true today. The church has nothing whatsoever to do with what I'm reading here today. I'm teaching this for the church's sake.
Yeah.
But we don't pertain to us.
No.
We've not been appointed under wrath. Let me throw some verses in here. So you'll say, Brother Eddie was right on target there.
Right.
Now the wrath of God is going to be poured out. Yes, it is. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, after you read about the rapture,
yeah,
in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I guess I ought to read it. A lot of people don't know enough Bible to blow their nose.
Right.
So Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and they're concerned about the coming of the Lord. So he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep,
yeah,
that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Ed was out there at his wife's grave just a few minutes ago, and I went out there to join him.
Yeah.
He's sorrowing, but not without hope.
Right.
You know, I want to leave my family some hope.
That's right.
I know one day I'm going to die. I was telling Donna, I just went and applied for some more life insurance. I'm worth $500,000 dead. Don't tell my wife. She's got enough reason to kill me already. But I'm trying to leave my family a little something. I'm as good as dead right now. I mean, I'm down there. I've got very few days left. I know that.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm putting together a little package so they can remember their daddy.
Yeah.
Put something in their pocket.
Yeah.
Well, some people, they don't have no hope. Nobody leaves them nothing. They didn't leave them a testimony. The preacher had to do the funeral, probably had to lie to offer any comfort. But he went on to say in verse 14, for if we believe, and I do, that Jesus died, and He did.
Yeah.
And rose again, praise His name.
Yeah.
Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, and I'll take it either way.
Yeah.
I don't have to be alive. I'm still going no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm either coming back with Him, or I'm going up when He comes. One way or another, I'm a going. But anyway, He says, we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous they get there before we do. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Boy, that's going to give a lot of people a heart attack, Brother Ed.
Yes, it will.
With the voice of the archangel. Woo! And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I read that for this reason. The rapture has took place.
Yeah.
He comes on down here talking about about judgment, and he says in verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So I'm not worried about what I'm reading here today. I'm teaching it because it needs to be taught.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm teaching it for the sake that we might be able to warn those that haven't made preparation against this day, and it's going to come up on them suddenly, unaware, and they're going to succumb to the mistake of not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
You know what you just read there a while ago, Brother Andy? Wouldn't it be something to be standing up on that hill up there and the trumpet sound?
You'll probably be there, brother.
Hey, listen to this. So we'd be standing there on that hillside. Jerry would come up out of there. Harvey would come up out of there. Karen come up out of there. We'd say, we'd be right with y'all.
Before you get it out, brother, it's a twinkle.
Yeah.
It's faster than a twinkle of an eye.
That's right.
I mean, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. I mean, buddy, we're talking about like an explosion, like gunpowder. We'll be out of here.
That's right.
Amen.
Just read on there that the dead will rise first.
Yeah.
So we're going to see them. They say, we're coming with you. Just hold on. We're coming.
Amen. What a day that will be.
It'll be. That's right. Goodness gracious.
Well, this don't pertain to us. I'm teaching it because it needs to be taught.
Yeah.
We need to know it so we can give a man an answer that asks us a question of the reason of the hope that's in us.
That's right.
So this angel tells four angels, don't hurt the earth just yet.
That's right.
Don't hurt the sea just yet.
Right.
Don't hurt the trees just yet till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Amen.
Now, we're done gone. We leave out in Revelation chapter 4.
Yeah.
Here's where we leave out. This is where the church is no more mentioned in Revelations until Revelation 19. He said, after this, John says, and after this I looked and behold a door was open. Now that door has not been opened to me yet, but as they were stoning Stephen, in Acts chapter 7,
yeah,
he said, I see the heavens open.
Amen. Yeah, he did.
Now, I ain't been there, Brother Ed.
No, not yet.
But when I'm at the point of death, I'm going to see the heavens open.
That's right.
He said, Brother Ed, he said, I see Jesus standing. How about that for sight, brother?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
What a sight that would be, amen. Woo! You coming to get down, Colonel? We about three sheets of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
you should have got here about 10 minutes earlier. I ain't kidding. But anyway, John says, I saw a door opened in heaven.
Yeah.
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
And immediately I was in the Spirit.
Hey.
So I just want to tell you what I'm teaching on this morning don't pertain to a child of God.
No, that's right.
I've done my best to make it as clear as I could.
Yeah.
Now these angels have been told to hold on a minute. They're getting ready to bring judgment on the earth. Here's why they're going to. Here's why they need to hold on for a minute. He said, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I've been saved 33 years. I hadn't been saved very long at all, maybe a year. And I was sitting at the table at my grandmother's house, Pauline Sass, my dad's mom. Boy, she could cook. I'm talking about, you give that woman two ingredients, she'd make, I mean, a buffet. Boy, that's the first time I ever eat any pork ribs cooked in sauerkraut was at her house. I couldn't believe how good it was. Anyway, I'm sitting there and my uncle Woodrow Wilson's there. And he's a Jehovah's Witness. And now you stay around Brother Eddie very long, I'm going to witness to you. But anyway, I said, Woody, are you saved? Woody, he said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. He said, I am one of them 144,000. I quoted that verse to him.
Wow.
I said, Woody, it says 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
I said, Woody, which tribe are you from? He didn't know enough Bible to blow his nose. And you know, to make it even worse, I said, you try to tell me only 144,000 people are going? And then I quoted this verse here to him. Verse 9, and after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And to be honest with you, I don't think he was serious about what he believed in. And I don't expect to see my Uncle Woody in heaven. Now, I've done my best, but everybody's not open.
No, that's right.
Brother Jason was talking about getting censured. And everybody don't want truth. Everybody's not open to truth.
No.
But we still need to strive to tell people the truth. You know, everybody's not going to get saved. I understand that. But there's some that can. There's some that will get saved. We need to focus on them, not waste our time on these others. Well, anyway, my Uncle Woody, I done the best I could. My hands are clean. I tried. I've done the best I could. But he, I'm one of them 144,000. That's about all some people know. Verse 5 of the tribe. Now, I'm going to mention some tribes here. And as I mention these tribes, one of them is missing, Carolyn. There's still 12. But one of them is going to be missing. And I'm going to show you why one tribe is missing. Say it. Of the tribe of Judah. Oh, let me get my paper out here. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. That's one of the 12 tribes. So we can put a check mark by that. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. That's one of the tribes. Put a check mark by Reuben there. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. That's one of them. Got a check mark there. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. That's actually the tribe of Asher, A-S-H-E-R. It's kind of like Jesus called Elijah Elias. They just kind of hit a lick on the name there. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. That's right there. Of the tribe of Manasseh, there it is, were sealed 12,000. That's not one of the 12 tribes. That's the firstborn of Joseph. That's Joseph's firstborn son, mentioned in Genesis chapter 41, verse 51. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Put me a little check mark there. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. One tribe's not mentioned.
Right, right.
It's a tribe of Dan. Dan was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now Dan's not mentioned here. And I'm going to show you why he's not mentioned here. But he was told not to do what he did. Judges chapter 18. He got cut off. Judges chapter 18. I'll find it here in a minute. been on both sides of it. In Judges chapter 18, I'm going to read several verses here, just so this will be clear. I'm going to start reading in verse number, Judges 16. That's something right here. Hold on a minute here. What it is, I looked this up in another Bible, and I'm looking where it was on the page of another Bible. Okay, Judges chapter 18, verse 27. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priests which he had, and came to Laish, unto a people that were quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Betharab. And they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. The name of the city was called Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. That's a problem. And Jonathan, the son of Gishon, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Now, that graven image, thou shalt not worship any graven image.
Yes.
They worshiped a graven image, and God, the Bible said, He's a jealous God.
Yeah. Right.
He's no respecter of persons. They got left out of the 144,000 that were servants sealed by God in their foreheads. They were not allowed to participate in that. Now, Paul said all the Israel is going to be saved in Romans chapter 11. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I want you to know this was a dishonor to the tribe of Dan. These 144,000 are going to be like modern Apostle Paul's. I mean, they're going to turn the world upside down. How effective are they? Verse 9. And after this, after the sealing of the 144,000, lo, a great multitude. Boy, they're going to have a big effect.
Yeah.
Which no man could number.
Yeah.
Of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now, I really want to read on down here because I want to get this in before the Sunday school lesson ends here. And all the angels stood, verse 11, round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Now here's why I want to read this verse. These 144,000 is the reason all these people, no one could be numbered. It said, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. These are tribulation saints. They don't get to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are different circumstances.
Yeah.
For the Lamb, which is the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now I want to back up and expound upon what I just read right there. These were reached with the everlasting gospel that's preached during the tribulation by 144,000 sealed servants of God. And there will be a lot of people saved in the tribulation, but there's going to be a lot of people die too.
Yeah.
Verse 9. It said, I'm looking for a slain. Well, oh, I know, I got to back up. Yeah, back up. Look here at Revelation chapter 6. And when he heard the fifth seal, when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" They had to love not their lives unto death.
Right.
They had to keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
And here they are, they made it, and they got saved out of tribulation. Now I told you, Revelation is a book that just keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
So in Revelation chapter 20, again, we're reading about the same event. And I saw a throne, verse 4, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All of that what I read are all people that got saved during the tribulation.
Yeah.
God made us kings and priests.
That's right.
I've never been a king in my life. I can't imagine what royalty is about. Yet I'm about it, Carolyn. Man, can you imagine having royalty, power to tell this and to do it, and they do it. Tell that and they go, and they go. Bring me this, they bring it. God gave us great honor, great blessing, great salvation. He had to die to do it. But he was willing to do it.
Yes.
I can't understand that kind of love, but I do know this. He said there was no other way.
Right.
So the impossible was done by him. And the impossible was given to us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. So that means I'm not going to go through one day of the tribulation. I'm going to have some light afflictions down here that some people think it's a great tribulation. God help us to be a little bit more tough-skinned.
Amen.
I mean, you know, everybody thinks they got a right to have a pity party. Maybe they do. I'm not going to labor that point or beat that drum. But in lieu of what Jesus went through, we don't really have any room to complain. He tasted death for every man, beat beyond recognition. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised. He was afflicted. By his stripes we're healed. Hey, bring it on, John O.T. I'm going to heaven no matter what. I'm telling you, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? I'm going to heaven, amen.
Amen.
But this book, the Revelation that we're reading, it keeps kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it keeps proceeding, keeps repeating But it gives clarity and gives more insight as you read through it. But it pretty much summed up in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 takes care of everything mentioned from the rest of Revelation. We'll stop right there. We want to try to be a good steward of our time. And that was 45 minutes of Sunday school lesson. And all this censoring going on, they only allow you 2 hours. I feel like preaching about an hour today, so we're going to stop right there. And we can get some singing and some preaching in, amen. Hallelujah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I-